Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hi, this is Morgan Brittany. I'm co-anchor and owner of Politichicks.com, author of the book What Women Really Want, and an actress from the television show Dallas. And I would like you to join Audrey Russo on Real Talk.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. Well, the last time my next guest was on, we were talking about the spring, summer on and off Broadway, and we're going to continue that. Plus, we're going to talk about the Tonys. So we're going to do that right now. For my new listeners, Lauren Yarger is a syndicated reviewer for Broadway and off-Broadway theater in New York and professional theater in Connecticut for Reflections in the Light, the Connecticut Arts Connection, and BroadwayWorld.com. She is a voting member of the Drama Desk, the Outer Critics Circle, and the American Theater Critics Association. She's a member of the League of Professional Theater Women and co-founder of its Connecticut chapter. Lauren is also a producer and playwright member of the Dramatists Guild of America. And she's a book reviewer for Publishers Weekly and a member of the National Book Critics Circle. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to my friend Lauren Yarger. Hey, how you doing, Lauren?
I'm good. Thanks, Audrey.
I can't wait to get into this now. Of course, we want to hit the Tonys first? We'll talk about that first.
I think so. We want to kind of give a wrap-up of what's been nominated, because the Tonys, we're in award season now. So we have the Outer Critics Circle coming soon, the Drama Desk Awards, and then the Tonys, which complete the season. But we're in the middle of all of that. All of the nominations have been announced, and it's always crazy this time of year. So we have a lot of shows that have opened since we talked last. So I kind of want to run through what's been nominated and then kind of give some highlights of the ones we haven't talked about so that your listeners can be really prepped for watching the Tonys. Or if you're coming into the city, you'll have a better idea of what shows you might want to see. This year, I have to say that the Tony Award nominations this year are some of the most puzzling that we've had in a number of years.
Really?
Usually I predict them and, you know, pretty much predict the winners, you know, fairly accurately. But when these nominations were announced, I just kept saying, what? Really? What? It's that kind of a year. And the one, in fact, we talked about a show on your last program, I think it was, Be More Chill.
Yes.
Which I thought was going to run away with a lot of the Tonys, is not nominated.
Wow.
At all, except for one category, the score, I believe. But it just totally was shut out, and it's not nominated for Best Musical, although I think it's one of the stronger musicals I've seen this year. So it's just, it's very odd. Not really sure what's going on. I'm not a Tony voter, so I cannot give you any insight. But it's a different kind of a year. So I'll start with going through some of the best plays that are nominated. This, again, I've said on here before, this was a really good season for plays. We had some terrific plays this year, and one we talked about on the show, The Ferryman, is nominated for one of the slots for best play. There's another show that is no longer running called Choir Boy, which was a very interesting play. It had music in it. It was a cappella. It was obviously about a boys' choir at a private school. Very well done, and had choreography in it. So for a play, it was kind of unusual, and it was very good. I kind of I'm kind of surprised. Here's one of my surprises to see that nominated in the best play category. It was very good, but I wouldn't have thought it would get nominated, but it is. And opening, since I last talked to you, were two of the plays that are nominated. One is Ink, which is based on the early career of Rupert Murdoch in London when he first is hired to take over one of the papers and changes the whole way journalism is done, really. It's 1969 London, and he purchases a paper and hires an editor to change it into, you know, a tabloid, you know, that we kind of just, we take for granted today, that this is how news is gathered in tabloids, and they have this crazy stuff and these big headlines on the front page and, you know, pictures of naked women and things like that. You know, I mean, it's just that wasn't done before. So this is sort of the story of how that came to be and how he sort of got his foot in the door as a media mogul. And it's very interesting. It's really interesting storytelling, but it's not a history lesson. You know how sometimes when you can do these kind of plays where you're trying to tell a story from a certain period in time and you just feel like you're kind of, you know, back there stuck in history or something, mm-hmm. and you're getting a lot of information about the history of the period and stuff. It really isn't like that. It's very well done, and it's the set is very different. You know, it's not a typical look. You know, there's stacks of office furniture and files, and it's a mess. It's chaos, which is sort of a metaphor for the industry, I think. It's very interesting. So you're kind of just absorbed in this story, and it doesn't feel old. It almost feels like you're watching today's. You know, you could be watching what's happening today, really, in a lot of ways. So very, very good. So I'm happy to see that one among the nominees. And the last nominee for the best play is What the Constitution Means to Me, by Heidi Schreck. Now, this was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize this year.
Wow.
Mostly because it's very timely in terms of our culture and what's happening, and you know, laws, and every day you open up the paper, there's another article about, you know, rights being violated, or, you know, somebody trying to stifle rights and this kind of thing. So it's very interesting take on it. She revisits herself as a young teenager in high school when she competed in competitions called What the Constitution Means to Me, put on by the American Legion, I think it was. And it was funny to me because I actually had been in one of those contests, only it was called What America Means to Me. It wasn't the Constitution. But it was the same setup. It's at like a, you know, American Legion Hall, and you know, the kids compete, and then there's like the winner goes on to a regional contest and that sort of thing. And she, I guess, made sort of a semi-career out of winning these contests and helped finance her college education by winning a lot of them. And so the first part, I would say the first third of this play, I thought it was fabulous. I mean, it was really interesting to, it's very funny also, but she's, you know, she sort of becomes her younger self. And then there's two other phases of it later that she kind of is making comparisons about different women in her life at different times and how the laws and the Constitution, you know, were sort of being morphed at that time. And it's interesting, but for me, the second half of the play kind of went on this tangent. It ends up with a young woman coming out, and they actually do a debate contest, you know, and the audience participates and this kind of thing. And it kind of changes shape for me, and I lost my focus for it. But it's very interesting, and it's obviously a commentary on today's government and today's administration and that type of thing. But it's not blatant about that. I think it's there, but it's not in your face. So it was really interesting. So it's very different, you know. So it's not a solo. She wrote the piece and stars in it, but there are a couple of other people who are on stage. But it almost feels like a solo presentation because it's very different from a play, something like Choir Boy that had a whole choir, you know, many people in it, and that kind of thing. So it's different types of plays nominated this year. So it should be interesting to see what happens there. And then we have all of these musicals that have been nominated that is the most puzzling category for me this year. Like I said, Be More Chill is not there. Again, one of the best musicals I saw. That the book was really solid, the music was really solid, the story's fun. Not to mention that the kids love this show. There now are more than 300 million downloads of this soundtrack.
Wow.
And you would think that, if nothing else, you would nominate them just so they could perform on the Tony broadcast.
Right.
So all these people would tune in, you know. It's sort of like the Hamilton year, you know, where everybody in the world knew Hamilton and tuned in for the Tonys. And so everybody is, you know, not going to tune in now to see Be More Chill. But anyway, enough about who wasn't nominated. We'll talk about who is. The first musical that's nominated is Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations, which, you know, if, you know, you have figured it out, is a musical about the life and times of the Temptations musical group. Mm-hmm. It's a jukebox musical by a lot of the same team members who brought us the Jersey Boys.
Right.
Not the Jersey Boys. It's not quite there, in my opinion. It was okay. And the music, of course, is there. So if you're a fan of the music of the Temptations, you've got Just My Imagination and, you know, all of the top hits that they had, plus a lot of music that I frankly didn't know. Maybe I'm just not as big a fan of the Temptations as I thought I was, but I, you know, it wasn't like the Jersey Boys where you could just sing along with every tune and you knew every song. This one wasn't so. And really their story kind of was a bummer to me. So they have a lot of difficulties and they don't get along and they get rid of members who are in trouble and they replace them. And there's something like 24 Temptations that's been a part of that group over the years. And
wow, I didn't
so
know that.
It wasn't quite the same, you know, thing as like these four guys, the Jersey Boys. I guess I was expecting Jersey Boys, you know, part two or something, but which I think a lot of people were, but it's not. So if you're going with that in mind, just be prepared that it's not going to be quite what you thought. Mm. The second musical we have in that category is Beetlejuice, which is an adaptation of the movie, which I personally had never seen, but apparently, you know, a lot of people love that movie. In fact, I mentioned to my daughter that I was going to see Beetlejuice, and I said to her, I don't think I've ever seen that movie. I've seen clips from it, but I said, I don't think I've actually seen the whole movie. And she said, Mom, you wouldn't let us watch that movie when we were kids. And so, and I can see why. Going to see the musical. It's pretty dark. It's about a demon who comes back and he tries to take over some ghosts that are haunting their home. When a new family moves in, it's about this troubled teenager, and she's like suicidal.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's funny. I guess it's like there's a lot of humor in there too, but it's just, it's really dark and a lot of you know, that creepy kind of occultish kind of, you know, touches to it or something. So I can see why this was not on our list of approved movies back when they were two. But anyway, so that's nominated. And Alex Brightman, who stars as Beetlejuice, is very good, and he's nominated in the actor category for a musical. Leslie Kretzer, who's in it, is one of my favorite actresses, and she's a riot. She really is. She plays the girl's stepmother-to-be, or new stepmother, and she's kind of ditzy, and you know, she's very funny. And Carrie Butler and Rob McClure are the couple whose house, their house, they die, and then they come back to haunt their house, and they're very good. They are, like, perfectly cast, and very entertaining together. So there are some really good performances in it. I don't mean to, you know, trash it at, you know, out right. of hand, but it's, you know, it's, to me, the storyline wasn't appealing, I guess. It's directed by Alex Timbers, again, one of my favorite directors. Very cartoonish like in its look, mm-hmm. you know, the set. So it doesn't take itself seriously. So I think that helps. But anyway, if you like Beetlejuice the movie, you'll probably like it. Everybody I know who liked the movie liked the musical, so there you have it. The next one we have is Hadestown, and this, I think, is probably one of the biggest contenders we have for the best musical, Tony. It has music by Anais Mitchell, and it tells a story. It's a mythological story. It tells the story of Orpheus and Eurydice and Persephone and Orpheus, and it kind of mixes their two stories, and they spend a lot of time in hell, and that is depicted sort of like this really seedy, down under New Orleans jazz club.
Oh gosh.
And the music is very jazzy. Mm-hmm. Very entertaining. I mean, it's really engrossing, and you don't feel like you're watching a bunch of mythology. You know, it doesn't have that feel. It's just story. Right. And so there's, again, it's kind of a little bit of a bummer of a story if you know the myth. But it's there's a lot of message in there about not being influenced about voices around you, listening to your heart, you know, being confident and going forward to do what you need to do. You know, these kinds of things, friend. You know, there's just a lot of good stuff in there. So it's directed by Rachel Chofkin, again, one of my favorite directors. She did The Great Comet of 1812, which was so innovative and so creative, and it's sort of along those lines. So I enjoyed it very much. We have also The Prom nominated, which I didn't think much of, and I was totally shocked to see this in the category. It was kind of a regular kind of musical. There were some very good performances in it, but overall it's a story of a couple of girls in high school who want to attend the prom together, and of course the conservative PTA is against it. They cancel the prom. There's all kinds of complications, but oh, at the end everybody decides that's okay. I mean, it was very predictable, and you know, not to me one of the musicals that should be in this category, certainly not over Be More Chill. Okay, enough on that. The last one is Tootsie, based on the movie starring Dustin Hoffman and Jessica Lange. It's the funniest book of a musical I've seen in a long time. Yeah. I mean, it's updated, and it's not exactly the same as the movie, but it is so funny. People are rolling in the aisles. I mean, and it has a couple of those jokes where you hear it and you laugh, and then it just keeps striking you funny. You just keep laughing. It's very funny. But I thought the music was weak. By David Yazbek, who I love, and who did The Band's Visit, you know, which we've talked about before, and some other great musicals. It was okay, but I just didn't, again, it's nominated for Best Musical. It may very well win. So it's been that kind of a year, Audrey, where I'm just, you know, last year, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, there was every single musical that was nominated, I would have been happy with whatever one was selected. Yeah, mm-hmm. Every one was terrific, and it was like, wow, we had such a great year. And this year, I'm going to be really shocked by probably whoever wins. So anyway, those are the major categories. We had only two revivals this year, so both are nominated. Kiss Me, Kate, and Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma. And maybe they should just not give one this year.
Yeah, right.
You know, it was just that kind of a year. There were things about Oklahoma I liked very much and things I really didn't like. And I really don't like the musical Kiss Me, Kate. I don't care who's in it or how much you've updated it. I think they just should have had Kelly O'Hara do a concert of Cole Porter's music. That would have been terrific. So anyway, those are the major categories and what you can be looking for when you're tuning into the Tonys and trying to figure out what to watch when you come into the city.
Wow. This sounds pretty interesting. I know I remember last year before, when you were talking about the Tonys, there were so many amazing, you know, I mean, gosh, now, not so much. You're going to have an off year, I guess, you know?
It happens, you know, I mean, there's some years like that where it's just, I remember a couple of years ago, we just were like, until it was plays that year, there just was nothing. And suddenly War Horse opened, and we were like, yes! You know, because finally, there was like this really great play, and there was no question that that was going to win the Tony, you know, and I think Katie's Town is that for musicals. I haven't felt that way about anything else. I've got one more musical I can mention since we have a couple of minutes.
We have a couple of minutes. Go ahead. Shoot.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but it's actually called Revelation the Musical, and it is every word from Revelation, either sung or spoken, in a musical, and it's playing at the Players Theater downtown for a month. It opens this week. It runs through June 9th. And so if you are not excited about any of the ones that I just mentioned, when you want to see a musical that's biblically based, there you go.
There you go. And mutual friend of ours, Rich Swingle, is in that, as a matter of fact.
Yes, he's playing the role of John, I believe, at least the first several weeks. I think that's another actor is coming in after that. But yes, he's in that for a period of this.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Wow. It's been, it's going to be interesting. We always appreciate you giving us the inside scoop and your great assessments on this. Lauren, where can listeners follow and support your excellent work?
Usually you can find the reviews on Reflections in the Light. If you just enter that and in your search and my name, it will come up. Or, of course, you'll have it on your site, Audrey.
Yes, of course, because that's what's going to happen. You don't even have to search for it. We do all the work for you. We do all the work for you. You can find those links and also links to follow Lauren in social media. You can find that on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the honor button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links, no searching necessary, that Lauren just shared. Lauren, thanks so much again for doing all the arduous work and weeding through the best and the, well, not so best in theater for us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Thanks.